First lesson is from Genesis 18, verses 20 to 33. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abram stood still before the Lord. When Abram drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous from the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there, he answered. For the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there, he answered. I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm tonight is in your bulletin on page 2. It's Psalm 138, and we will read responsively. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
For they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his promise to me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Second lesson is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel verse for tonight is, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hymn number 71, We Rise as We Are Able. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And Jesus said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Hi, Emma, Scarlett. Oh, here comes Maddie. Hi, Maddie. Tonight, I have a question for you, okay? If there's something you need, if there's something you want, how do you get it?
You ask a grown-up.
You ask a grown-up, okay? I was thinking you could maybe go and buy it, or if you have something that you want or need, you could maybe work for it. I suppose you could steal it. Yeah, right. Do you think God would be happy with that?
No.
No. I wouldn't be happy. God wouldn't be happy. Your mom and dad wouldn't be happy, right? But sometimes we forget the most important thing, and that's what you said, Micah. If you need something, want something, you could ask somebody for it, right? Let's say your birthday's coming up, or let's say Christmas is coming up, and your parent or your grandma might say, well, what would you like? They're asking you, right? You could go to the store for it. That's right. Yeah, so asking is okay. You can pay for it. And if you don't have money, what would you do?
You can't get it.
You wouldn't steal it, right?
Yeah.
No, you might ask somebody who did have money to pay for it, right? Or maybe when you ask for something, maybe you don't always get it. Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes you ask for something and you don't get it. And is it because somebody's mean? Yeah? Or is it possibly because it's not something that you need? Right? I mean, when we think about praying, about prayer, our lessons for tonight are about prayer, there are times that God's answer to us is no. Not because he doesn't love us, but because we might be asking for the wrong thing. Or God might know that what we're asking for isn't good for us. Because God knows everything perfectly, right? So to pray is to ask. And Jesus says, when you ask the Father, do it in my name, and he'll give it to you. Because when we pray to the Father, you know what we're asking for? We're asking for the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit prays for us, guess what happens? We ask for what God wants us to have. Did you catch that? When we're asking, maybe the best way to pray is to ask for what God wants us to have, right? Yeah, we could just ask God to say, God, what do you know is best for me? So to pray. And recently, my grandsons taught me a new prayer. Can you put your hands like this? Yep. And it goes like this. Tick, tock, tick, tock. This is the way we pray. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving us food today. Hooray! Right? But here's what I learned today. You could switch that word. Instead of saying, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving us the food we need, we could say, for teaching us how to pray. Or, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving us love today. Or giving us faith today, or giving us hope today. You see? So when we pray, we can pray to the Father in the name of the Jesus, and we can ask for the Holy Spirit. Because you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit is the faith maker. The Holy Spirit makes faith in our hearts so that we ask God for what God knows we need. Will you pray with me? Let's pray together. It would be a repeat prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, help me to listen well and to ask well. Your will be done. Amen. Thanks for coming up. In light of our gospel for tonight, you probably recognize a familiar tune. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. To pray is to ask. But there are a lot of people, I think, even within the faith community of the church, who have sometimes misunderstanding when it comes to prayer. Prayer is not like putting coins into a vending machine. Prayer is not about twisting God's arm behind his back and demanding what we want. It's not about bargaining in our intercessory prayers, performing some kind of spiritual blackmail. No, to pray, as Jesus says in our gospel for tonight, is to ask for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the faith maker, The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us faith, who gives us faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. So that when we ask the Father, we pray in Jesus' name, and we ask that God's will be done. So to pray is to say, Father. I mean, when they ask Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. Now, some people don't like to do that because they think that's masculine, or they think that that's kind of male dominance. But you see, Father is not God's gender. To pray, Father, is to do exactly what Jesus has commanded us to do, because our Heavenly Father likes it when we pray to Him, enjoys it when we pray to Him, when we come before Him in the name of His Son, Jesus, and ask for the Spirit of the crucified and risen Christ. When you pray, Jesus said, just say, Father. It was the winter of 1940, and Josephine's husband, well, he was laid off because of the weather, but also because he was a painter and he was a textile worker, and that happened a lot of times in the winter. And so Josephine's husband, and they had a daughter, 18 months old, named Rachel, were struggling financially. Now, to top it off, little Rachel, 18 months old, came down with pneumonia. And this is 1940, and the doctor said, you need to give your daughter every morning a boiled egg. But they couldn't even afford to go out and purchase eggs. What to do? Well, Josephine had a good friend. And her good friend said, you go to church, right? You believe in God, right? Why don't you just ask your Heavenly Father? Why don't you pray? Well, so Josephine did that. She immediately got down on her knees and she prayed to her Heavenly Father that there would be an egg each day so that she could boil it for her little daughter, Rachel, who was battling pneumonia. The next morning, Josephine got up, and of course there was no money and there was no eggs. And she looked outside, and they had a hedge by the edge of their property. And she took a second look, and here was a big, plump, red hen. And she watched it. She thought, I don't recognize that hen. I've never seen it around here before. And as she watched, guess what that red hen did? It laid one egg. And so Josephine got the egg, she boiled it, and was able to give little Rachel what the doctor had ordered. The next morning, she looked out the window again, and there was that little red hen, the plump one, again. And once again, it laid an egg. And Josephine boiled the egg, and according to the doctor's orders, was able to give it to her little girl, 18-month-old Rachel. This continued day after day until the weather improved, until little Rachel was well again, and until Josephine's husband was back to work. And then Josephine looked outside the next morning, and then the next morning, and she no longer saw that red hen. Now, this is a true story from Daily Bread. To pray in the name of Jesus to the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the faith maker, is to believe that all things are possible with God. And not because prayer is, well, a lucky rabbit's foot, or hocus pocus, or magic. But because prayer is God's command and God's invitation and God's promise, He won't forsake us. He won't fail us. When a disciple asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus says, "When you pray, say, 'Give us today our daily bread.'" God knows what we need. And God is more faithful than any earthly mom or dad when it comes to providing for His beloved children. When you pray, say, "Father." Now, if you've been here the last 2 weeks, you know that we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke with three consecutive stories. And all three of those stories are about discipleship. Do you remember where we've been? Or if you're here tonight for the first time, it all began when Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem and the cross so that He could die for the forgiveness of our sins. And then Jesus looked around and saw that the fields were white for harvest. That's good news. Hooray! But there's not enough laborers. A bumper crop isn't a blessing if you can't harvest it. So Jesus looks at His disciples, and what does He say? "Pray earnestly that the Father would send more laborers into His field so that the harvest isn't wasted and isn't lost." Jesus then commissions the 72. You see, those who pray are sent. Those who pray are sent. Like sheep in the midst of wolves. And they come home extremely successful, and Jesus says, "If you want to celebrate, celebrate this, that your name is written with my blood in heaven." Now, what began these conversations about discipleship is because there was a lawyer, somebody who was a Bible scholar, who came up to Jesus to test Him, to trap Him, and he said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, you all know the short answer. Nothing. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing. But the long answer is everything. Because Jesus has already prophesied His death in Jerusalem on the cross, and He's already told His disciples that if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross and deny yourself daily and follow me. What must I do? And Jesus says, you know the Bible, what does it say? He quotes the Shema, love the Lord your God first and foremost, and then He quotes Leviticus chapter 19 from the Holiness Code, which says, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do this, keep doing this, and you'll live. But seeking to justify Himself, He said, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus tells a story, right? In fact, St. Luke will record two back-to-back stories. The first one, which will exemplify loving your neighbor as yourself. And the second one, which will illustrate or exemplify loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, first and foremost. And so these back-to-back stories say something about discipleship, right? The Good Samaritan and the story last week of Martha and Mary. Go and do likewise, Jesus says. Don't just sit there, do something. And so Martha says, I got it. I got it all figured out. And she's busy doing. She's the perfect hostess. She's got an elaborate meal, but now she's in over her head, and she has to cry out for help. I suppose you could call it a prayer. But she goes and interrupts Jesus in mid-sentence of His teaching and says, Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me to do all the serving. Tell her to help me. Well, just ask, right? Just ask. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. But what is it that we're asking for? Oh, there's a time to don't just sit there, do something. And there's a time to don't just do something, sit there. And so where is Mary? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's like seminary classroom. She's learning. She's soaking it all up. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious. You're troubled about so much stuff. There's only one thing that is necessary, one thing that's needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it's hers for keeps. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it's hers for keeps. And immediately after that is chapter 11 of Luke's gospel, our gospel reading for tonight, which says, and when Jesus had finished praying in a certain place, one of his disciples came and asked him, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Now, what if the disciple who asked Jesus that was Mary? Because she had sat at the feet of Jesus and listened. You see, in the Gospel of Luke, most people call it a praying gospel, and in the book of Acts, people are praying all the time. That's what the church does. That's what disciples do. They pray all the time. And so in the Gospel of Luke, you see Jesus, he's praying when he's baptized. He's praying before he chooses and appoints the 12 apostles. He's praying before he asks, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He's praying when he takes the disciples up to the Mount of Transfiguration. It's a prayer retreat. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, St. Luke says that he's sweating drops of blood. Father, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then he's praying on the cross to the Father. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. And after Christ has been raised from the dead, chapter 24, the last chapter of Luke's gospel, he's walking in the Word, with the Word, Cleopas and his companion, and they get to Emmaus, and they sit at a table, and the guest becomes the host. And what does Jesus do? He offers a Eucharistic prayer. He blesses the bread, says grace, and their eyes are open. The book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke need to be seen and read and heard through this discipleship lens of prayer. Jesus is always praying. So what do we know about disciples? Well, they love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They love their neighbor as themselves. And they know what time it is because they pray to the Father. They ask, they seek, they knock. And what does the Father give them? If they ask for the Holy Spirit, he gives them the Holy Spirit, who in our weakness prays for us with sighs too deep for words, according to the will of God the Father. When you pray, say, Father. And so Jesus says, what father among you who, if his child asks for a fish, gives him a serpent? What parent among you, what father among you, what mother among you, if your child asks for an egg, will give them a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit just for the asking? There was a little boy. He was standing on the shore beside the Mississippi River. And he was waving his hands, and he was yelling out, come over here, come over here. Bring the boat over here. It was a great big steamboat on the Mississippi River. And here comes a gentleman walking on the path beside the Mississippi River, and he sees the boy waving his hands and saying, over here, bring the ship over here. And this man looks at the little boy and says, little boy, just shaking his head, I think you're crazy. The captain of that boat, he has a lot of big, important things to do. He can't be bringing that boat over here. You're crazy if you think he's going to do that. And no sooner had the man said that than all of a sudden what happens? The boat comes over to shore. And this man is completely surprised and bewildered. And that little boy looks up at him and says, I know the captain. He's my daddy. A father shared a story this past Tuesday at the men's Bible study about how when his kids were little, they wanted to be like all of their other friends. Our friends are all going to Valley Fair. We want to go to Valley Fair. Please, Dad, please, Mom. Begging, pleading, huh? Rubbing the rabbit's foot. Wheeling and dealing. Oh, making promises. We'll do our chores. We'll do this or that. And Mom and Dad kept saying, no, you're not going to Valley Fair. Yeah, but all of our friends. No. You're not going to Valley Fair. Well, why? Because Mom and Dad are bullies? Why would Mom and Dad say no to their kids that they love? Is it possible because they had something better for their kids that their kids weren't able to see? So they got the suitcases packed, and they got up early. They went out to the airport. And the kids thought, oh, we're just picking up some relatives or friends or something that are coming to visit. And then they got on the plane. And then they found out the truth. They were going to Florida and to Disney World. And they were only hoping for Valley Fair. You see what happens when we pray? That's why Jesus says, ask for the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times we ask for the wrong thing and we ask way too small. The Holy Spirit is the faith maker. We'll create faith and keep faith and deepen faith in each one of us. All things are possible with God. In our first reading, God, the Lord God Almighty, has come with a couple of angels to visit Abraham and Sarah and gave them a birth announcement. I know you're going to be 90 next year. I know you're going to be 100 next year. But it's time for that promise to be fulfilled. You're going to have a baby. And Abraham left. And Sarah left. And God said, you're going to call that boy laughter. That's what Isaac means, laughter. And then the two angels, they're about to leave to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? For the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is so great that a holy God can no longer ignore it. And that's our first reading for tonight. Now, some people might say, oh, so Abraham is just kind of haggling with God? Well, he's not trying to manipulate God. I think he understands what prayer is. It's a conversation with the Father. And it means that we can ask for the Father's will to be done. But do you notice what happens there? What about 50? And we think, oh yeah, for the sake of the 50, I'll spare the 50. They'll be saved and the rest will go kaboom. No. I mean, this is an amazing God, the Father Almighty, who is willing to save the whole cotton kit and caboodle in Sodom for the sake of 50, and then eventually 45, and 40, and 30, and 20, and 10. What if, Abraham says, and I know what you're thinking, what if Abraham had said, what about one? What about one righteous person? Well, St. Paul has an answer to that. No one is righteous. No, not one. All have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life for you in the gift of the Father's Son. No one is righteous except the only begotten Son of God, whom the Father gives for the salvation of the world. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Just ask. Just ask. When you pray, say, Father. Amen.